I do not grow old by years. I do not grow old by years. I do not grow old by years. This is the Absolute Philosopher, Dr. Herbert L. Bartley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, and other things here in Campo, California. I do not grow old by years. I grow old by deserting my ideals. Years may wrinkle my skin, but the loss of enthusiasm wrinkles my soul. I do not grow old by years. I grow old by deserting my ideals. And years may wrinkle my skin, but the loss of enthusiasm wrinkles my soul. Well, now that's about the way it goes, doesn't it? Mm. When there's no enthusiasm, there's no fire, there's no joy, there's, in theos, see, there's no God. In God, enthusiasm. So, well, what should we say about this thing today, huh? What should we say about something that I do not grow old by years? How do you grow old? Do you grow old by believing in yourself? Do you grow old by remembering? I think most people grow old by remembering. You grow old by deserting your ideals, and you see, you grow old by deserting your ideals when you are 3 and 4 and 5 years old. When you have dreams and then you're told that it can't be. When you have dreams and then you're informed that not for you. You cannot run a marathon because you have a crippled leg. You cannot write a book because you have no education. You cannot fly a plane because it's too expensive to take flight lessons and you can't do it. And then all of a sudden, you're in a plane with a friend, and the friend has a fade out, heart attack or something, and you have to fly the plane to the ground or else it will crash. And so you have been watching your friend fly, and you realize what he does. And so you make a few maneuvers with the plane to see that you feel comfortable with it. And then as you do that, you go down, you go up, you go right, you go left, you do all sorts of things. And then when you feel comfortable that you got control, then you know you're just going to go down and down, gently, gently down to a place to land and set her down on a nice big area where you got lots. And always remember, keep your tail low. If you keep your tail low, then you'll land well. If your tail is high, you could flip. You can do everything else under the sun, but you will not land high. I mean, you will not land well. So, you figure these things out. Now, if you're going to get into hot water, you're going to get in a tub of hot water. How do you get in? You stick a toe in first, maybe, or maybe a finger. But you stick a toe, and then you slip into the tub. So, if you're landing an airplane, you gently slip yourself into it, gently hovering over the ground, gently smoothing it in preparation for landing, and then you keep your tail low while you keep coming in, and then you go on in. You let your tail come up just a little bit once you're down, and you land perfect. Presuming you're in a light plane, which is something you'd be presuming you're landing. But every plane lands the same way. Every plane lands exactly the same way. But you have to keep enough speed up so that when you're landing, it'll stay up instead of go poop. Some people drop it in, and that can be happen too, because they stall. But you see, I grow old, not by years, but by loss of enthusiasm, by loss of my dreams, by loss of my goals. I have met so many people in my lifetime, and I have really met many people in my lifetime. And these people sometimes forget that you're always doing things that are beautiful and good. You're always doing things that are meaningful and uplifting. You're always doing things that are exciting. And can you imagine a face full of wrinkles? What's the biggest cause of a face full of wrinkles? Anyone tell me immediately? Smiling. When you smile, you have a face full of wrinkles.
Nice.
And that's just the way it is. When you frown, you got a face full of wrinkles. Mm-hmm. When you relax, you have a face full of relax.
Nothing.
Now, presumably, we would say, relax. But where is the excitement in relaxing? If we relax, we might as well roll it up, dig the grave and jump in. Because if we're not getting anything out of life, then we're not going anywhere to accomplish anything. And that's just not a good thing to do. Because we are here to have fun, to enjoy life, to do exciting things. Now, sometimes you, in your morbidness, look at people who have enthusiasm and you say they're crazy. They're going to kill themselves jumping out of airplanes in a parachute. Boom. Why? The fatality rate of jumping out of airplanes with a parachute is far less than car crashes. And what about the bungee jumping? I mean, you got to really believe in your bungee if you're going to leap out some bridge or something with a bungee on it. And now, what about standing on the edge of a cliff and looking down? Do you get vertigo? Do you feel like I got to back up a little bit? If I fall, I don't want to fall over the edge. Or do you stand at the edge and you say, hey, I'm master of this. If I'm walking across the sidewalk, or if I'm walking on a board, or if I'm walking on the ground, it's all the same. Just because there's a drop 3,000 feet next to me, that doesn't mean that I have to go take part of it. You just walk along and you say, isn't it beautiful up here? Isn't it lovely? And you see, when you're noticing the loveliness, you forget about the terror of what would happen if you went over the edge. This is something that we all grow old about so quickly. We want to live a secure life. We want to live a protected life. What is it that the world is talking about right now, far more than they did a long time ago, but what is it they're talking about far more right now than anything in the world? Well, what they're talking about is Social Security. You pay money in along with your wages, and the government puts some in, and the job puts some in, so that when you retire, or when you can't work anymore and you have to quit, you'll have money to live on. Well, now, they haven't planned on the escalation, the cost of living that goes up. But everybody feels that they'll have money to live on when they retire or when they stop. And many people take the retirement and they go on to other jobs even while they're retired, even while they're getting Social Security, not realizing that they're messing things up for themselves. Now, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you really needing Social Security? Why don't you live until you die?
You generally do.
Why don't you live until you die? Why don't you live until you die? Why don't you be excited about life all the time that you're awake or living? You see, most of the time people die young because life has become futile and useless for them, and they have no hope for any excitement or no hope for any growth or anything else like that. And that's exciting, isn't it? Really exciting, you know? I have talked to so many in the military who retire after 20 years, and they're in their late 40s, and so they're retired, and now they have enough money to do whatever they want to do. And so what do? They start a business of their own or something like that, or they decide they're going to go fishing all the time. Well, they didn't go fishing before, and going fishing now, they're just inviting trouble, because what they're doing is they're taking the enthusiasm for life and putting it on hold. We want to live our life with all the joy and power and enthusiasm we can by getting excited about life. Ellen is writing an article every month for The Gist, and she calls it EJ Shares. Well, this month EJ is sharing a love affair that she has, a very torrid love affair. A love affair that has changed her whole life and just flipped everything upside down. You'll read it in the March issue. And when you do, take a look at it very carefully and see if maybe you did that same thing to yourself or did not. Think about it. It made Ellen very happy. Maybe it'd make you happy too. Now, is Ellen doing the wrong thing, having this torrid love affair? You know what that means? She's very, very, very much in love. She's very, very, very much thrilled with the person she loves. She wants to be with that person every moment of her life. And
herself.
What's that?
Herself, I'm sure.
If I wanted to say that, I would have said it. I'm trying to get you interested in reading the gist
okay.
and seeing what's coming out in the March
okay.
gist
okay.
under
EJ.
Nobody heard it. Well,
no.
Thanks a lot. But if I wanted to, I know the answer. You don't, and I didn't say what is the answer. You know. But be careful when you help me. Sometimes you slaughter me. But that's okay. I do not grow old by years. I grow old by deserting my ideals. And what are ideals? What do little children have as ideals? They can do what?
Everything.
Anything, everything that I asked for. They can do anything and everything. There is nothing a little child cannot do. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing their fathers cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
My dad can beat your dad, you know. And when they talk about Santa Claus, do they really mean it?
Yeah.
Sure they do. When they talk about Jesus, do they really mean it? That Jesus saves them and Jesus heals them and Jesus does all that stuff? They really believe that. And that's great. But what happens when someone takes Santa Claus away from them? If for a while, it's a blow.
Yeah.
It's terrible. What happens when someone takes all of the goodness away from them? It's a blow. It's very tough. And so when that's taken away, what do they have to do? They have to replace it with something. And most of them replace it with their mother or father, or with their husband or wife, or something of that nature. And they're always looking for an or the big G. You know who the big G is? The government. They want the government to give them a handout. We have been going throughout the world, and we have met many beggars in Switzerland, in Germany, many of them in Germany, and many in France. We were going up to the great church in Paris. What's the church's name?
Notre Dame.
No, the bigger one up on the hill.
Oh.
The great big one with the thousands of steps going up to it.
It's Notre Dame.
Up there? Notre Dame is down by the Seine.
Mm. Madeleine.
Anyhow, it's that big church up on the hill. Hush.
And it's Montmartre.
I think it is, yeah. And so on the way up, as we were walking along, there were beggars here and there. And my associates, thinking that they were very beautiful people to give gifts to these beggars, I know they didn't do it otherwise, they gave it in front of me. They said, Herb, how come you're not giving them something? And I said, well, in the United States, the beggars are the wealthiest people that you can imagine. I mean, they don't pay taxes or anything on their stuff. They just really have a good deal. And they couldn't understand that. They couldn't understand that. But I told them that these beggars are doing very well. And it doesn't matter where you go, what country you go to. They want a handout. They want the government to give it to them. We go into Africa, we go into South America, we go into these third world countries, and the kids all got their hands out. They all want to have something. They're taught this from little on. And then as you're driving along the street, they knock on the window with their hand open, say, give me something, give me something. And of course, the people we're driving with don't do that because they know that if they start something like that, they get deluged. And so, you see, they've lost their ideals, if they had ideals, if they were taught. But I believe everyone has ideals. Sit. I believe that everyone has ideals, and everyone lives according to their ideals. And when you live according to your ideals and stay with your ideals, wonderful things happen in your life. But when you abandon your ideals, when you begin to think that your money comes from something outside of yourself, then you're always going to live on very little. You're always going to be a beggar. You know, you look at a prostitute, and she sells her favors for a few dollars. You look at the CEOs of the large companies who are women, and they sell their brain for a great deal of money. They sell their genius. They sell their ideals. They sell the things that are important to them, that make them very, very happy. And you see, this is great. This is great, because if we learn to utilize our brain and utilize our intelligence to bring us greater income and greater benefits, we haven't abandoned our ideals, but we've enlarged upon them. But we enlarge upon them only if we remain in one realm, and that realm is within ourselves. Anytime we step outside of ourselves to get benefit, anytime we step outside of ourselves to get control or to get direction in life, we're having trouble. Now, just think of yourself. You can sell your body for a few pennies, and that includes going to work on an unskilled job because you don't want to learn a skill. You can sell your time, your body, your thoughts for a simple amount of money. Or, in the United States at least, if you want to go to school, the government will help you go to school, and they'll give you money to live on while you're going to school to make yourself into a better person, and it's a skill, give yourself better skills, and then you go out and you earn very well, and at least you have a higher opinion of yourself, and you have a higher goal of yourself, and what you're doing is you're holding on to your ideals. And this is the most wonderful thing that any of us can do, is to hold on to our ideals. Now, I see people coming to us for prayer, coming to us for treatment, coming to the campus, always begging. Always begging. People say, "I want the doctor course." And I say, "Look, I own the university. I am not about to give it away. I have gone without eating for a long time to maintain the principles that I do, and we are now doing very nicely, and I'm certainly not going to give it away now. Well, I want just the doctor course." Well, then, here's the doctor course. It includes the undergraduate, the graduate, and then the doctorate course. And it just takes you that long a period of time. When you're done with all of them, then you won't really concern yourself with the doctorate degree. You'll go out using the genius that is within you, that you have become aware of, and you will be one of the richest people that you could ever imagine. But so long as you're going to beg, and so long as you're going to steal and want something for nothing, you're going to get something for nothing back. Now, I give scholarships. We all give scholarships here at the university. We help people along whenever necessary. But all the people that we've helped along have never made anything of themselves. Mm-hmm. The people who have helped themselves, who have come and struggled through the little cost that it is to take the courses, they are masters. They are supermasters. And they have pride in themselves. They have skill in themselves, and they have great benefit in themselves. So think about these things. Don't sell your ideals. Don't desert your ideals. Don't let the lack of enthusiasm wrinkle your soul. Be alive, be alert, be enthusiastic about life, and go for it. And read Ellen's column in the March Gist, because you learn all about a love affair that you could have yourself. Have a lovely day. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.